who you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. To you is born this day in this borough of Perkasie, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. To you is born this day a Savior who is, how would you complete the sentence this morning? You'll notice the title of the sermon is, Who or What is Saving Your Life Today? You're going to be given an opportunity to share that, if you choose to, as an offering, a gift to each other, to reflect on that question, and you'll hear my own reflections. But first, let me back up a little bit to the birth narrative that we just heard again, that we've heard many, many times in our lifetimes. But this year, what stood out to me was this declaration, born to you this day a Savior. God knows in these troubled times, we could all use a Savior. Let's reflect just a bit on the story. Luke records Jesus being birthed to Mary in a strange place, away from home because of being forced to go to a town so that they could be counted, so that the Roman Empire could control the masses. Mary and Joseph, and certainly all of their people, felt the need for a Savior, someone to rescue them from the political and economic oppression of their day. They needed a new Moses to take them to a new promised land, just as their ancestors had experienced many years before. And I can't even imagine how vulnerable Mary and Joseph must have felt in this strange land, in these strange and weird circumstances, this poor peasant family, peons to the powers, feeling that there was little to save them and much that would crush them. Then that story continues with this narrative of the divine messenger appearing to the lowliest of the low of that society, the shepherds keeping watch over their animals in the dark night. And they're terrified, for it seems that all heaven is breaking loose around them, and they are given this message that is to be good news to them, of great joy, for today, this very day, you're getting a Savior. They were invited by the angel to go and visit, and as a sign that they would receive hospitality once they got there, and that they would not be turned away as they so often were turned away in their society, they were told they'd find the babe wrapped in the same manner that any poor peasant child would have been wrapped in that day. And the Savior would be lying in a manger, again, consistent with what would have happened in the case of poor peasant households throughout the Middle East, where babies were born and often laid in a manger, the warmest part of the house, where animals were sleeping in the stalls. This according to a book called Jesus Through Middle Eastern Eyes. Thank you, Danella. Their Savior was going to be one who would enter and engage poor humanity and take on the same problems and struggles and take on the simple beauty of their lives. Oppression, ridicule, grinding poverty, but then on the other hand, loving family, a deep connection to the earth, a love for their animals, and a keen, profound knowledge of their need for a Savior. It was this one born among that would among them that would one day grow up and say, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled." To Mary and Joseph, shepherds and wise men, there was one born in that day, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Well, what about us? Where do we turn to for our saviors? Who or what is saving my life right now? This question is one I first came across recently in a book that I'm reading called Very Married. The author, Kathleen Willis Percy, mentions a story told by Barbara Brown Taylor in her book entitled An Altar in the World, A Geography of Faith. And so this week, you might remember I was on a quest to find that book, and thank you for helping me. Barbara says in her book, and I quote, "Many years ago now, a wise old priest invited me to come and speak at a church in Alabama. And I asked, 'What do you want me to talk about?' And he replied, 'Come, tell us what is saving your life right now.' And Barbara says, all I had to do was figure out what my life depended on and how I stayed as close to that reality as I could, and then find a way to talk about it to help my listeners figure out the same thing for themselves." When Very Married author Percy references Taylor's question, she admits the same confusion that I felt when first reading this. For a Christian, wouldn't the obvious answer to who or what is saving my life right now be Jesus? We would likely have been raised to give this pat answer to this question, but rarely invited to ask the second question, what does it mean when you say that Jesus is saving your life? Like me, many of you grew up with declaring that Jesus was our personal Lord and Savior. And for many years, being saved for me meant simply being saved from my sins so that if I died, I'd go to heaven. And according to this narrow and inadequate view that I now believe, God sent Jesus solely to die in our place as payment for our sin, and Jesus took our place and paid the price so that we could be saved and go to heaven when we died. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time waxing theological this morning on Christmas morning, because you don't want to do that, and I don't either. But this word salvation and having a Savior go so much deeper and broader than the questions about the afterlife. In the Bible, we find much conversation about being saved, but being saved often from bondage in Egypt, or being saved to be freed to return from exile in Babylon, as rescue from danger from enemies, Egyptians and Assyrians and Romans, and salvation as health and wholeness, being saved from sickness and death, and as moving from injustice to justice, and salvation as movement from violence to peace, or restoration of the environment, and more. And why in the world did we narrow this concept of salvation to about the afterlife? And since Christ infused Jesus, and Christ as a Spirit infuses all things, then Christ can surely show up as the lick of an exuberant puppy, the giggle of a baby, freshly baked Christmas cookies, a text message, a poem, the embrace of a friend, Or even, as Barbara Brown Taylor suggests, getting our attention via illness. These profound and incredibly simple acts can be what is saving our lives right now. But if the question is tripping you up around this whole idea of being saved, there's other ways to ask the same question. What's making you feel fully alive? What's making you whole? Putting your life back together again from the brokenness that all of us experience simply because we're alive. Another matter of approach would be to ask, what is it that I need to be saved from? What is keeping me from wholeness? From what current challenges seem to wear you down and impede you from being fully human and, as we like to talk about, able to model Jesus in the world? A few things I thought about, and then you can, in a few minutes, if you choose to, share what you think about in regard to this question. As I was thinking about it recently on my evening run, suddenly the question came clear and the answer came clear. In the moment it hit me, what is saving my life right now is the air that I'm taking into my lungs and exhaling. Sometimes it's as simple as that. Sometimes as elemental as that, that what is saving my life right now is this breath that we're taking. And as we think about spirit in the Old Testament, the image is ruach, the same word for breath. At a most elemental level, what is saving each of our lives now is the breath we're breathing. But what is saving my life right now is the love of family. What's saving my life right now are the simple, nutritious, wonderful meals that Mary prepares day in and day out. What is saving my life right now are you, this congregation. Your love, your concern, your forbearance of my weaknesses and mistakes, your care for each other, your hard work, your desire for PMC to be a place of welcome for all people, your passion for peace and justice, and your service in our community and around the world. What is saving my life right now is a growing sense, a sneaking suspicion that Christ can be found anywhere and everywhere. In what astronomers call the uniform universe, 10 billion light years away, to the smallest of the microscopic, the quark measured in femometers. That's 1 quadrillionth, one with 14 zeros behind it. If I could give you one gift this morning, it would be that I would wish that it would settle in your bones how deeply you are loved, and that you would know without a doubt that you are being saved. Right now, right here. And as Barbara Brown Taylor says this, and I quote once more, "No one longs for what he or she already has, and yet the accumulated insight of those wise about the spiritual life suggests that the reason so many of us cannot see the red X that marks a spot is because we're standing on it." The treasure we seek requires no expensive equipment, No superior aptitude, no special company. All we lack is the ability, the willingness to imagine that we already have everything we need. The only thing missing is our consent to be where we are in the present moment. You just heard a very partial list of what is saving my life right now. What about you? This is opportunity to address what's saving your life right now, what's making you feel most fully alive, what's putting you back together again from a place of brokenness to relative togetherness. And I'd be delighted if you would share the gift of those reflections with one another, the way that you can give to each other the presence of Christ with you in the ordinary stuff of life. You heard that stuff that's not out there so much for me anymore, as much as it's very particular, which is the wonder, I think, of the Christmas story, that particularity, even the scandal of it, that God would come among such ordinary things of life, like babies and mangers and animals, to show us and give us the great gift of life. So we'll allow a little bit of time. I don't think we need amplification, or maybe we have a microphone if we need that, but invite you to share anything that you might be thinking of. We won't allow a lot of time for this, but want to hear from you if you have something you want to share.
About Michelle's experience and what she's going to do. help me through all of that was sharing grief with other people, sharing stories and memories and knowing that other people are feeling the same way that I am, and just embracing each other and loving each other.
Thank you for your offerings. We want to receive a different kind of offering at this time. Your monetary gifts, as we consider this last Sunday of 2016, as we give toward the ministries, the mission of this congregation. I'd like the ushers to come forward at this time. Join me in prayer. On this Christmas morning, as many gifts have been given, offered, exchanged, we now come to offer to you our gifts, our monetary gifts, as well as our time, our talents, and all that we are and all that we continue to give to you. As we return now this portion, we do so with much gratitude. Amen.